This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16 to chapter 6 verse 2. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of my salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Well, please do keep your Bibles open at that page. There we go. Thank you very much, Chris. Please keep your Bibles open at that page. We're going to look at that together. Welcome if you're here for the first time. If I haven't met you before, my name is Frank. I hope I will get a chance to say hello to you at the end. We usually stay and have tea and coffee and pizza. If you're free for that, then I would love to speak to you then, so you could ask me some questions at the end. I'd love to meet you. I'm just going to take some time to talk about these words in the Bible. And here's the title today, A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. When life goes wrong, do we get a second chance? I guess probably a lot of us know what it feels like. We get to that point where we want to start all over again. We would love to have a new beginning, to press the reset button on our lives and start again with a blank sheet of paper. Turn back the clock, perhaps. Maybe we know that we've let people down and disappointed them, treated them badly, caused damage for ourselves, for people that we care about. Maybe we feel we've let ourselves down and we failed to live up to our own standards. We've not achieved what we wanted to achieve. We've not got to where we wanted to get. We've not turned out to be the people that we thought we would be and hoped that we would be. Maybe we just don't feel right about who we are. We don't feel at home in our own skins. We just think, this is not the person I wanted to be. And sometimes we do try to reinvent ourselves and rethink our lives. Maybe we go for a new look, a makeover, a new approach. We join in with a new group of people that have a different style, a different way of doing things. We move house, we change job, we perhaps break off a relationship and start something new. But it isn't easy to reinvent ourselves. It's not easy to start all over again. Old habits die hard. It's hard to change. It's hard to become a new person. And sometimes we may wonder, well, is it too late for that anyway? Is the damage done now? Well, Jesus Christ is all about a fresh start. A new beginning. Right from the start, the very first people who met him experienced this new beginning. They experienced a new start, a fresh start. And they quickly shared that with other people. They traveled around the world telling people about it. They wrote down their experiences. And Christianity spread around the world in a generation. And their words are in our Bible. And so this is a great opportunity for us tonight to find out, what is that new start? What is the new start that Jesus and Christianity offer us. Is it real? Does it work? What's it about? That's what I'm going to talk about for the next little time. I'm just going to say three things from our Bible reading about that fresh start and what it really is all about. And the first is this: a fresh start with Jesus means people being recreated by Christ. Recreated by Christ. That's what the reading is talking about in the first few sentences, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Jesus makes people new. We can become new people. Let me just read those few sentences to you again. If you've still got your Bible open, it's really helpful if you follow it. It's on page 116. You can see it's on the top left corner up there at the top of the page. It's just a few lines down from the top. There's a number 16 there. I'm going to start reading there. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Now, this is the people who wrote the Bible telling us about their experience, how they changed their minds, how they became Christians. David told us his story a little earlier in our service. This is the people who wrote the Bible telling us their story. And telling us how they used to see things before, how they used to see Jesus, how they used to see Christians, what they thought of Christianity, and then saying, no longer, that's how we once saw things. Now, we see it completely differently. Before, they used to see it in a kind of worldly way, in other words, the way that the wider world looks at Jesus and Christianity. They wrote it off. Jesus failed, he was killed, not very important. But now, they think about it totally differently. What caused them to change their minds? What caused them to see it differently? Well, it's actually the last few words just before the part that we read. So just before verse 16, it talks about Jesus being raised again. And the writers say that's what changed their minds. Now, that sounds impossible, but here are people who say that they saw it, that they met Jesus alive again after he died, and that is what has totally changed the way they view Jesus and Christianity and Christians, because they saw Jesus alive. Jewish people, these people were Jewish people, they already believed in a new creation. In other words, what they believed was that at the end of the world, God created the world at the beginning, at the end he was going to do it again. We've messed it up, we've spoilt it, we've damaged it, we've disobeyed God, and the time is coming at the end of the world when God is going to start all over with a fresh new beginning for the whole universe and recreate it and put everything right that is wrong. That's what they already believed, but then when Jesus was raised again and they saw him alive again, it suddenly dawned on them that has already started. God has already done that with one person in history, with Jesus Christ. That new beginning has come into this world and is already here. The old has gone, the new has come. Jesus alive again. Not just Jesus, but anyone who ties themselves to Jesus, who commits to him, who trusts in him and follows him and belongs to him. Those people too are a new creation, a new person, ready to live in that new world at the end of history. And that is a fantastic promise. Yes, their bodies, if you're a Christian, your body will still get old and sick and die, and you'll still have bald patches and sagging bits and wrinkles and all of that. You'll still have your kind of bad habits. You'll still have your temptations. You'll still fall short and get things wrong at times. But already, if you know Jesus, there's already a new person inside you. A person who is already remade. Jesus called it being born again. Peter called it a new birth. Paul calls it a new creation. It's the same thing, a new person inside us that God has recreated. Just to help us understand this, it's some years ago I was given some golf lessons as a birthday present. I thought, well, how hard can it be to play golf, any sport that you can play while wearing a cardigan the whole time, Sounds like the kind of sport that I might just about be able to manage. Sport isn't really my thing, but I thought, well, if I can do anything, surely I can do golf, just kind of going for a gentle walk and occasionally hitting a ball. I can do that. So I go for these 10 golf lessons. And at the end of the lessons, am I ready to play golf? The guy says no. I buy another 10 lessons. At the end of those 10 lessons, I'm practicing hard. I'm turning up in between lessons and doing everything I'm told to do. Eventually he says to me, look, I just don't feel I should take any more of your money. It's not going to happen. It's just not your thing. At least he's honest with me. That was kind of him. And I guess, you know, it's not going to happen. I'm not, however hard I try, however much I work at it, I'm not going to be a world famous golfer. But if you can imagine for a moment that we're in one of those strange movies where anything can happen, and if there were a way for me to not just try and improve myself and my own golf, but just to start again as a new person, you know, maybe I could choose who I want to be. I could be this guy, maybe. I could say, right, I'm Tiger Woods. You know, then my golf would suddenly improve a huge amount. And that is really what these people are saying about following Jesus. We become a new person. It's really saying, look, you can't fix yourself. You can't reinvent yourself. You can't create your own new start. You can't just try harder and give up all the bad things for Lent and turn over a new leaf and just be really determined and improve yourself and sort yourself out. That is not going to work. But God is able to do something you can't do and I can't do. He's able to give us a whole new start, make us into a whole new person. The person we were created to be, the person we were always supposed to be and meant to be, and gradually to transform us in that way. I was reading today a story of somebody who his father had been addicted to alcohol and had been a difficult person to live with. The whole family was scared of him, worried about when he might come home, when he got paid. On a Friday, they wouldn't see him till Saturday or Sunday, and all the money would have gone, and he would come back drunk. And then one night that father became Christian. Someone explained to him about Jesus, and he put his faith in Jesus. And the son who's telling the story explained that, well, you know, the family are still scared of him. There's still no furniture in the house. He sold that already. There's still very little food in the house. You know, that is still the situation on the day that he becomes a Christian. But things are bound to change because there's a new person there now. And come that Friday, they're all very surprised to see him return home on Friday. Not only has he got some money that he's been paid, he's got some food for the family to eat. The following Friday, they're surprised to see him return home with a chair. For the family to start rebuilding that life. A new start and a new person. A fresh start with Jesus means that we are recreated by Christ. And then the second thing from these words about that new start, that fresh start, is being reconciled to God. That's what verses 18 to 21 are about. In chapter 5, God restores a broken relationship between human beings and God. Instead of being his enemies, we become God's friends. Let me just read from chapter 5, verse 18 from the Bible. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Lovely words, reconciled, reconciliation. Maybe you've seen that happen between old friends. Maybe it happened between a couple. They fall out, they disagree, there's anger, there's shouting. They start to ignore each other, they won't talk to each other, and it's a beautiful moment when they are reconciled and reunited and brought back together with each other. Or we see it on an international scale. You see two nations at war and fighting each other, and then the moment comes when they sit down around a table and they agree peace. And there's a ceasefire. I want to imagine it just for a moment with two chairs. So if you imagine this chair representing God, and this chair representing us, and we are created to be in a relationship, to be facing each other, to have a relationship between God and humanity. But then what happens is that human beings turn away from God. We reject God and turn our backs on him. And we do that in lots of little ways. The Bible calls it sin, little acts of rebellion, of defiance. Maybe they're very evil things that we do. Maybe they're just very small things that we do. But either way, we're really saying, look, God, you're not in charge. You're not God in my life. I decide the rules here, and I do what I want to do. We turn our backs on God so much so that over generations we start to even forget if God is there or not and find it hard to imagine that he is. Just like a couple that won't speak to each other and shut each other out of their lives. We need to be reconciled to God. Now, what is God's attitude to us once we have turned away from him? Well, of course, he responds to that. Of course he does. He has to, doesn't he? I mean, if a nation is defied and rebelled against, what happens? If the Islamic State set up their own nation and defy the other nations of the world, you know, what will happen? What will happen to them when it fails? And they come back. They're not going to be welcomed very warmly. If they're allowed back at all, they're going to be required to pay for their crimes. Their little acts of disobedience and defiance and rebellion will count against them and will be held against them. And God wouldn't be good. He wouldn't be just. He wouldn't be fair if he just allowed us to reject his ways without responding to that or reacting to that in any way. But God doesn't only react in that way. Unlike us, he really longs to be reconciled. And he doesn't wait for us to fix it. That will never happen. He takes the initiative. And he is the one who reconciles us to God. Let me just read a sentence in here that describes that. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Instead of counting people's sins or crimes or disobedience against them, God says, no, I'm going to count them against myself. I'm going to count them against Jesus Christ. Explains that a bit further down, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus had no sin. He lived a perfect life. He lived a good life. God came into this world to live as a human being and to get it right. And he got everything right. And yet, he was treated as if he were our sin. As if he were our rebellion against God. As if he were our defiance and our disobedience. God treats himself in that way, counts against himself, counts against Jesus all that we have done wrong. And so Jesus is killed in just the way that a terrorist might be killed or a traitor on the cross, killed on a cross. And the result is that we can be loved and forgiven and accepted. If he becomes our defiance, we become his goodness. His purity, his rightness, says so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So here's what happens when Jesus died. God turns back towards us because Jesus died. He loves us and accepts us and forgives us at his own initiative because of what Jesus does. And all that is left is for us to decide whether this will win us back to him. But he doesn't just leave us there, turned away from him. He sends his messengers to plead with us and implore us to be reconciled. Listen to what it says here, verse 20. We are, this is the writers of the Bible, people like Paul and others who knew Jesus firsthand. This is what they're saying about themselves, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God reaching out to us every time the Bible is read or talked about, reaching out to us tonight and imploring and saying, look, it's all been done. Jesus has done everything that is needed. You don't have to be enemies of God. You can be reconciled. Just will you turn back? Will you turn back and receive that forgiveness and receive that mercy and that love and have that relationship restored? Be reconciled to God. Fresh start with Jesus means three things. Firstly, it means being recreated, being made a new person by Christ. Then it means being reconciled to God, being forgiven, friendship instead of enemies. And then lastly, it means being rescued in time, being rescued just in time, being spared from death, being saved from punishment before it's too late. Let me just read what is written here about that. Chapter 6. It's a large number 6 on the page telling us we've got to the new chapter. Just going to read that. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Do you see the urgency? Do you hear the urgency in those words? Verse 20, we implore you. Verse 1, we urge you. Verse 2, now is the time. They write about God's grace. It means God's gift, his kindness, his generosity. They write about God's favor. He's doing us a huge and generous favor. He's giving us this moment, this opportunity. Not counting our many crimes against us, but be reconciled, welcoming us back as friends of God. And they use that word salvation. It's there twice in verse 2. Salvation. Being rescued. Being spared the judgment we deserve. You see, if we're not reconciled to God, then we're still his enemies. We're still at war with him. We're still fighting him. And we cannot win that war. And he's patient with us. And he's offering us peace and reconciliation. And doing all that he could. He's even come into the world to die for us. And he continues to implore us through our lives. But he wants us to be rescued. He knows that if we're not reconciled to him, we face his judgment. We face death. This is why people die. It wasn't meant to be that way. And Jesus calls that separation from God. If that goes on into the next life, what Jesus calls that hell. That's the word that he used to describe it. No wonder then, his messengers, his fellow workers in the Bible, no wonder they implore and they urge. They say, don't let it be in vain. Don't let it go to waste. What Jesus has done for you, this opportunity that you've got, don't miss it. The time of my favor, verse 2, the day of my salvation. End of verse 2, I tell you, now is the time. Now is the day. I don't know whether you're bored of reading news about Brexit or having conversations or debates with people or in social media. There is a deadline, and a lot of people are surprised that nothing is really fixed yet, and the deadline is getting really very close now. And I guess we're all saying to each other the things that we were saying weeks ago, months ago, years ago. One side trying to persuade the other. I don't know which side you're on or where you are in between. But everybody saying to each other, imploring with each other, look, let's get this fixed. Let's come up with some kind of plan here. Will you change? Will you shift your position? Will you move on this now before it's too late? And it's not that they're saying anything different. It's really the same things they were saying months ago. But you can just hear the urgency rising in the tone of voice that people use as they implore and try to persuade each other. And we are facing a much more urgent deadline with much more serious consequences. I'm not saying that Brexit is not going to be serious. You can make your own judgment about that. We'll wait and see. But surely this is much more important. Eternal life as enemies of God, or restored and reconciled to God. And it is urgent. We don't know how long we have. When you're young, you know, young people ride motorbikes. Older people rarely take up that kind of hobby. When you're young, you think nothing can harm you. You're going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. You just don't know how long you've got. Our lives in this world are short. And this is our opportunity. This is our moment to be reconciled with God. Will we be here? Will all of us be here by the time the Brexit deadline happens? We don't know that for sure. Now's the time. Today is a great day to respond to this. Why wait? Will we take this offer of a fresh start? It's a great offer, isn't it? If it's real, if it's true, it's really, really good news. A new person. To become a new person, recreated by Christ, to reconcile to God, to restore that relationship, and rescued while there's still time for us to receive that offer and turn back to God. Don't waste the opportunity. It's not me as a preacher urging you, it's really God, through his messengers, saying now is the time. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're going to take a few moments to think about that, reflect on that as we listen to the musicians who are going to come and play for us.